Well, the best-selling American author Curtis Sittenfeld's latest novel has a simple but fascinating premise. What if Hillary Clinton hadn't married Bill? Rodham is a fictional memoir which begins when a young Hillary and Bill meet and fall in love at Yale University. But the couple part ways before Bill Clinton becomes governor of Arkansas. This is Curtis Sittenfeld's sixth novel, and it's not the first time she's explored historical fiction. Her book, American Wife, published in 2008, was a fictionalised retelling of the life of the former First Lady Laura Bush. But where that book mostly follows the real or historical timeline with a fictional character, Rodham creates a whole new parallel world. Curtis Sittenfeld says it's tapped into her fascination with politics, fame, and the discrepancy between our public and private selves, but it is not a love letter to Hillary Clinton. Curtis Sittenfeld is with us from home in New York. Hello and welcome.
Thank you.
You clearly love this rich vein to be tapped of American politics and some of its sometimes lesser known characters, perhaps not the case of Hillary Clinton, but with Laura Bush. Are you a total politics addict, Curtis?
I actually wouldn't say I am. I mean, I do follow politics, and I do find politics interesting. And, you know, like if there's an article, there was one time an article in the New York Times about when Obama was president, like what he liked to do during the sort of late night, you know, hours by himself, which is like snack on almonds and, you know, play online Scrabble. And like that kind of thing is just super fascinating to me. But in all honesty, like I'm not someone who, you know, I don't know, like I'm not a lawyer and I would struggle to like rigorously debate certain kinds of legislation.
It is though. It is people living their lives in extreme circumstances and under extreme scrutiny, isn't it? That perhaps is the common thread.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The premise itself, a wonderful start to a novel, a challenging one. When did it come to you? Was it the start of the whole project? What if she hadn't married Bill?
So I think there's like a couple factors that intersected that made me write the book. The first was that in early 2016, well before the American election, an editor at Esquire magazine reached out and asked if I would like to write a short story from Hillary's perspective. And I had been asked to write essays about Hillary and I had declined because I didn't think I had anything new to say. But writing this story meant, instead of asking what does Hillary mean to the American people, or what does Hillary think of the, what do the American people think of Hillary? It was saying, what does Hillary think of the American people? So it was sort of, you know, flipping the perspective that's usually attached to her. And then the other thing was that I had this sort of slow realization, including after the election, that a lot of American kids who knew that she was running for president literally didn't know Bill Clinton existed. And so I wondered if it had also been true for adults that Bill and Hillary were not seen as so connected, would the election have turned out differently?
That is really interesting, isn't it? The fresh eyes of a generation that hadn't been exposed to his dominance.
And the other thing also in real life, I don't know if you know this, but it's true that he proposed three times. She said no the first two, and it was only the third time that she accepted.
We need to be careful, obviously, not to do spoilers, but give us a sense of how the book flows.
So it flows beautifully. No, just kidding. It starts out, as you noted, in the early 1970s when they meet and they're law students and they fall in love. And I did borrow from the historical record as much as I could, although, you know, a lot of the scenes are sort of personal. So I definitely took creative liberties. And then this is not really a spoiler because it's the premise. They, instead of getting married in 1975, which happened in real life, they break up. And she leaves Arkansas, where, you know, he's brought her back to his home state, where he's starting his political career. And then she becomes a law professor and I, again, I don't think it's too much to say, she then enters politics herself. And then there's a third time jump into about 2015.
Perhaps we focus most on the early years, so as not to spoil it for those who are going to read it. And I found this in many ways some of the most interesting from the perspective of the challenge as a writer, because you have to go back to Hillary at the beginning, not as this public persona, not as this person who was probably the most discussed, one of the most discussed, most judged women in the world, but who she is fundamentally. At the start of your book and the start of her adult life, to you.
Yeah, I know. It is very interesting. I mean, some people say like, oh, you know, she would never have become a senator, never run for president if she weren't, you know, sort of basking in his reflected fame. But actually, there are plenty of people who think the opposite, where they were considered equally talented and promising and ambitious when they met. And you know, she was she'd already received national recognition, including for her delivering her college commencement address by the time she was in her early 20s. So, you know, people like to debate whether he held her back or whether, you know, she sort of, you know, coasted on his pedigree. But it's one of the reasons that, so the cover of the book shows her around the time of her graduation, and I just think it's like such a touching photograph because you can sort of see how young and full of promise she is.
Did you read her own memoirs, her own writing, or stay away from them?
I definitely, not only did I read them at times, I wrote Rodham sitting with her memoirs open on my lap. So I read Living History, which I had actually first read back in 2007. And then I read What Happened. And I read, Bill wrote a 1,000-page memoir called My Life. And I read the first 240 pages up to the point when they get married.
See, that's interesting as an author. Obviously, you want to get things as authentic as you can. But, of course, those writings are inevitably shaped, or the risk is they are inevitably shaped and polished by the author themselves. And you are trying to get beyond that too. You are trying, you mean, you literally put yourself into Hillary Clinton's head and you speak for her. Were you wary as you read those books? Were you wary of forming your own conclusions about her?
Well, I did think it was important to get a few different perspectives, so I didn't rely only on those. Although, you know, I'm not sure, like I understand that when you're running for office, you know, you present yourself in a certain way. But I think that all of us present ourselves in a certain way all the time. And, you know, like if I'm going to go on television, I put on much nicer clothes than if I'm not going to go on television. So it's like, I don't think that self-presentation is inherently false. But I did read, there's a biography of her by the journalist Carl Bernstein called A Woman in Charge that I found very interesting. There's a New York Times reporter who covered her for about 10 years on and off and wrote a sort of memoir called Chasing Hillary by Amy Chozick that's a really interesting read about contemporary politics. And it's really, it's very honest and very detailed, often in a kind of funny way. So I did think it was important to get perspectives other than from the Clintons themselves.
What I do find really interesting that you address early on in the book is the basis of their relationship, because, again, it's been judged. And it's, you know, is it a marriage of convenience? Did she stay in it because it would have harmed her political career if she had left? All these judgments. You go right back to the beginning when they meet. And you describe her own youthful relationships as fairly transactional, not by choice, simply a mismatch between the young men she's interested in romantically and those who are interested in her, which is a not uncommon experience many people early in their adult lives. When she meets Bill, it's different. And how did you write how their relationship formed and what it was about?
Well, I mean, I think that one of the reasons that people write and read novels is to really get at like the intimate, nitty gritty, granular experience of being human. And so I really tried to, I mean, as you said, put myself in her shoes and think about, she was in her early 20s. You know, she meets this man who's like very tall and, you know, very charming and very ambitious and very into her. And I tried to think about like what that would have felt like. And I think it would have felt really fun and exciting and special.
So they are genuinely in love in your view?
In my view, they are genuinely in love.
And then you have to deal with what I don't think is a spoiler, which is Bill Clinton's proclivities, his philandering. And we should say, in real life, accusations of far more serious things than philandering. Again, was this challenging to navigate when you put yourself into the mind of a much younger Hillary Clinton? How challenging was it to write about the things that ultimately led to her saying no to that third marriage proposal?
Well, so there's sort of two ways of answering that. I mean, one thing is, I like romantic comedy movies, but I often feel dissatisfied because I feel that I don't buy into the couple's initial attraction. And if there's going to be all these obstacles where they can't get together and I'm supposed to care, you know, I have to believe that they're really smitten with each other. So it was very important to me to show the characters of Bill and Hillary, who are, you know, they are fictional. This is definitely a novel. But to show them falling in love and feeling attracted and feeling consumed. And the other sort of, you know, second answer is, in life, you do not want impossible choices. But in novels, impossible choices are kind of great. Because it's like, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You want both things. I mean, I think it's very easy to relate to that. Like, we all have complicated lives, or, you know, sometimes we want things that are impossible. And I feel like the Clintons have a much more dramatic life story than many people, but I don't think that they're completely different in all ways. Like, they're not aliens to me.
No, but what I'm alluding to is the criticisms that Bill faced later in life, the allegations against him later in life, and then allied to that, what did Hillary know and what did she do? That seems to me, when you look at the complexities of their life and her decisions, particularly about her marriage, that's one where you've got to make a judgment call about someone, isn't it? You've got to make a judgment call about your character. And what they didn't do and why.
Well, and also, I mean, I think that a lot of people, a lot of journalists or pundits have commented on the fact that in the 2016 election, that it was difficult for Hillary to sort of bring up the charges that women have made against Trump, because then the conversation could quickly shift to charges against Bill Clinton. So, I mean, that's part of what made me want to think about how would her life have played out if she wasn't in a position of making excuses for him or defending him or just even, you know, being kind of in his shadow.
How difficult also was it to envisage them on a separate political trajectory when their public identity, at least until this latest generation, which is such an interesting discovery, when their public identity had so long been as a couple, and particularly during the times that each was building their careers? If it still is a man's world, US politics, it was even more chronically so then. And how difficult for you to envisage a separate path for each of them in the time?
Well, I think that that's sort of the work of what being a novelist is to have this sort of strange imagination. And, to be responsible for coming up with convincing details.
Did you find yourself liking either of them more or less by the time you'd finished this?
That's an interesting and complicated question. So I would say I had a favorable view of her going into writing the book, and I still have a favorable view of her. Like, I respect her intelligence, her toughness. I think she's actually a very warm, compassionate person. I think she has worked very hard and, you know, been subject to a lot of criticism, most of which is irrational. When I read those first 240 pages of his autobiography, I did feel as if I had kind of fallen in love with him. And, you know, I thought, like, if he wanted to marry me in 1975, I would say yes. So I have more complex feelings about him, where I think that there are, you know, very significant concerns that a person can feel about Bill Clinton. But I think that that's some of what fiction can address, is that contradictory sort of duality in people, where the same person can have appealing and not at all appealing qualities. Like, it's not an either or situation.
One of the strengths, I think, of the book is that it doesn't just look at sexual politics on a grand scale. It looks at them very intimately on a personal scale, and what is said to an obviously intelligent and opinionated young girl, a young Hillary Clinton, and also the sorts of comments made to her, what she discovers in her early romantic endeavours, but also how she learns to cope with it. It's small p politics, that stuff, but some of the most potent part of the book.
Yeah, well, I think that sometimes we forget that public figures are real people, and it's not like they just exist when they're on camera in front of us, or, you know, they're on a stage and we're kind of evaluating their outfits or their inflections. I mean, they're people 24 hours a day, and they, like, brush their teeth and, you know, feel regrets and get hungry. And so, I mean, I feel like fiction can really depict that in a way that nonfiction can't always.
The earlier and possibly most similar book, American Wife, what was it about Laura Bush that made you want to use her as a fairly obvious model for that novel?
So I'm a Democrat, and, you know, definitely voted for Bill Clinton, voted for Hillary Clinton. I did not ever vote for George W. Bush, but it was interesting because I felt like the public idea of Laura Bush and who she really was were, you know, far from identical, and the people would accuse her of being sort of a Stepford wife and, you know, potentially being very shallow. And if you read really any in-depth article about her, that really wasn't who she is at all. I mean, I probably was first intrigued by her because I think she's a really passionate reader, and I think that's been true for her entire life, and a very sophisticated reader. So it just seemed like there was this untold story or this discrepancy between, you know, public and private, which in some ways, I think in Rodham there is too. Like, I think that Americans have this tendency to talk about Hillary like she's like a symbol of feminism, but she's not a symbol. She's a person. And so that whole public-private discrepancy is always fascinating to me. Even without, you know, if a person's not famous, it's still fascinating to me.
You've interviewed Michelle Obama, I think. You write short stories, which appear in various prestigious titles, but you've also interviewed her. I don't want to pigeonhole you, but would there be a temptation to write another novel there? Or do you feel like you've done your time on the women who could have been president?
Well, it's funny. The first lady thing is kind of like, I definitely understand why people would look at me and think, like, what's your obsession with first ladies? Like, I would say my obsession with Hillary is as the first female major party nominee for president rather than as a first lady. Like, I don't think I would have written this book if she had not entered politics herself. I don't think that I would write a book about Michelle Obama, partly because her book, Becoming, is very open and intimate, and even in some of the ways it's paced, it's kind of novelistic. So I don't know that she left anything for me to imagine or explore. But there is, I don't want to say who it is, but there actually is, I'll just undermine everything I've just said, there is another first lady that I sometimes think, I don't think I'll write this immediately, but maybe in like 5 or 10 years, I'll write her.
Tell me it's not the current one.
It's definitely not the current one.
Wouldn't that be the most interesting novel of all, though?
Well, I mean, I think if a person would like to write a novel where the premise is that they're imagining what it's like to be married to Donald Trump, I would be fine with another person doing that. That's not something I would choose to do.
Curtis Sittenfeld is our guest. We're talking about her latest novel, Rodham, it is. It imagines a story where the Clintons do not marry and go their separate ways. 29 minutes past 10, it is on 9 to noon. You have history here in New Zealand. You were here, I think, over a decade ago, teaching at the International Institute of Modern Letters.
Yes, I have very, very fond memories of my time in New Zealand.
Do you still teach?
I don't still teach. So I was teaching grown-ups. It was sort of like a summer school class of, I think it was maybe 6 weeks. They were all incredibly talented. Several of them have had books published since, which it's not, there's not a one-to-one link between talent and publication. You can be talented and not be published. But I had fantastic students, and I think of them very fondly. If any of them are listening, hello. So relatively, that was in 2007, and I had my first child in 2009, and I have taught very little since then. I basically write full time.
Is a writer's career an evolution? And if so, what would you say has changed in the 10, 15 years since then? We should say, I think, one of your earliest novels, Prep, was nominated for the Orange Prize, right? So you were shooting for the stars as a fairly young writer. But if it is an evolution, what would you say has changed in the years since your time here?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think that probably publishing has changed more than, like, you know, the act of writing has changed, where, I mean, just the way sort of social media influences all our lives. And, you know, even if you're not on social media, that in itself is a decision. So, I mean, I feel like, yeah, there's different ways that readers and writers interact, and there's different ways of promoting books. And I mean, even the fact that I'm having sort of a virtual book tour during a pandemic is something that I don't feel like technologically this could have happened 10 or 15 years ago.
Is there a parallel in some ways between Prep and the early parts of this latest novel, the coming of age component and the exploration, in Prep's case, of you know, all the big three, class, race, and gender? Can you see a line through?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think that if you gave someone, you know, these two books and sort of covered up the author's name, I don't think most people would say, I am shocked that these are by the same person. Like, I think that I like to write from the point of view of observant girls and women. I mean, I don't think the Hillary character is as neurotic as some of my other characters. And in some ways, it was kind of fun and maybe even good for my self-esteem to write from the point of view of this very, you know, professionally successful and kind of like publicly you know, tough, resilient person. I mean, and even like, this might answer the earlier question about publication, but so in a few cases for media in the United States, I've posed wearing pantsuits, which like I've almost never worn a pantsuit in my life. And I even, you know, posed outside a government building. This was all, by the way, I should say it was all social distancing photo shoots, but there is something about sort of, you know, impersonating a powerful woman, which I think that I'm hardworking and I do think I'm ambitious, but I don't have like this, you know, major public political identity. And so to impersonate that was kind of amusing.
So you sort of took on some of her perceived strength and resilience.
Yeah, I mean, probably temporarily, but yeah, or to write in the first person and to sort of write, you know, and then I gave a speech about this, like, economic such and such, like, you know, something that I would never do.
Did you reach a conclusion then on what motivates her? So often those who reach or seek the most powerful office in the world, there is a very large dose of ego, ambition, desire for power. It is perceived that that wasn't the driving force for Hillary seeking office. What do you believe was?
Well, I mean, I think that you can have an ego, you can be ambitious, and in a best case scenario, and certainly this does not apply to all politicians, but you genuinely want to help people. And I feel like simultaneously, that's such an obvious part of her, you know, work history and work experience. And it's like so often ignored, where I feel like she really has been an advocate, you know, for kids, education, you know, like women's rights, I think has gotten more attention, like her sort of advocacy on that behalf. But I think that, you know, that there is sometimes this reflexive cynicism or skepticism that if she tells us that she wants to like help people and make people's lives better and make more people have health care or, you know, make college cheaper or make our country less polluted, like people think, oh, that can't possibly be true. There must be some real reason. It can't just be that, you know, like you recognize problems and you think that you're qualified to address them. And I actually think in her case, I mean, I do think she has some ego, as all of us do. I think she is ambitious, as many of us are. But I think she genuinely cares about and wants to help people.
Thank you so much, Curtis. The novel is Rodham. What if Hillary hadn't married Bill? Curtis Sittenfeld is its author. Thank you.